This is November 5th, Vajrahasyam class, and we're continuing discussing the Ashtamayam Sadhana from Chapter 8, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation of how to do Nam Bhajan and very quickly attain prema and revelation of our Siddhadeya based on chanting the Maha Mantra and meditating on the shlokas in this chapter, following the teachings of these shlokas and praying for the mercy of Mahaprabhu and reflecting upon and mixing the teachings and moods of the 8th verse of the Shikshastakam, Ashlishyava Paratam Panashtamam Adarshanan Mamantam Karotava Yata Tata Va Vedudanta Lampato Mat Pranana Tasya Sevana Paraha. Mixing that, all these together. So yesterday we were explaining, he's citing Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita, describing the place of bhajan and the method. And this is the, and that verse was from Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita number 8, and we should try our best to do bhajan in Vrindavan. Of course, if we can't live in Vrindavan, then we try to make our environment braja consciousness. Mora mana habe Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu, wherever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, Vrindavan. So wherever we may be situated in this world, we should try to think that we're in Vrindavan and remember Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami wrote this book in Vrindavan, Upadeshamrita, with the intention that people would do like him, that they would somehow come to Vrindavan and live here. And not just live here, but live, it says, Anuragi Anugami. Anuragi Vaishnava. One who is very, very attached to Krishna. Such a level of rag attachment will come at the level of sakti, bhava, and prema. That means a very advanced devotee. And what do we do there? Tannama Rupa Charitadi. Sukirtananu. Kirtan. We live in Vrindavan under a very advanced devotee. We hear katha from him, Hari Katha. We serve him. And we spend our time in Nam Kirtan. Nam Kirtan, Guna Kirtan, Leela Kirtan. Nam Rup Charita. Charita means the qualities and pastimes. And then when our mind is sufficiently purified and we attain some taste for Krishna the person, then we can begin the second line, Smrityo Kramena Rasana Manasi Niyojya. We can begin smaran. We can begin meditating deeply on Krishna. So the essential meaning of this text is that in accordance with his own bhav, the sadhaka should remember his beloved Sri Krishna, as well as the devotees of Sri Krishna who possess the same mood as himself. So this is taking two things in mind here. That the on one level, externally in the sadhaka rup, the devotee associates with a very advanced devotee. It says, anuragi janu, jana, anuragi jana, anugami. Anugami means to follow. And anuragi jana means one who's very attached. That's on the sadhaka level, someone you can see and experience. But then when we're meditating, seva sadhaka rupena siddhrupena chatrahi, when we're meditating on siddhadeya, if we have that siddhadeya, or if not, when we're thinking about Radhan Krishna's pastimes and an opportunity to serve them, then we will think of the anuragi Vaishnavas on that level. We'll think of the Nitya Parishads. They not only have anurag, but they have the various deepening expressions of anurag, which is Mahabhav. After anurag comes Mahabhav. Rudha, Mahabhav, and Adivrudha, Mahabhav. So here it's telling in this commentary that we're living in Vrindavan, we're being guided by a very advanced devotee, a Bhajan Shiksha Guru, living Guru, and in our meditation, we're meditating on those devotees who have the same bhav, this means the stahi bhav, that we're interested in, and we remember Krishna in that mood of Madhurya bhav, if we're interested in Gopi bhav, Madhurya bhav. So that means, who are those Anuragi Vaishnavas? We think of, for example, if someone's interested in serving Radha and Krishna in the mood of Madhurya as a gopi, Kinkari, Manjari, then he doesn't think of Sridham and Subal and Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj. He thinks of them in the context of the Leela where they come into play. In Pratak Leela, Radharani's cooking Krishna's breakfast in Nandagram, and Subal is sitting on one side of Krishna and Balaram on another, and Madhubangal's in front of him when they're taking breakfast. In that context, in context of the Leela. But the focus in Madhurya Bhav is Krishna as the Prem Vishaya, and the Prem Ashraya is Radharani and all the Gopis, Sakis, Manjaris. And then other players like Mukura and Purnamasi, Yogamaya, etc. So this, we're being told here that the Anuragi Jana in this case means that we think of the eternal associates. And in the Stavavali by Raghunath Das Goswami, he's given one book, there's one poem there called Vrajavilas Stava. And Vrajavilas Stava, he describes the key personalities that one should meditate on, and some details about their bhav, their mood of seva, and a little bit about their form and relationship to Radha and Krishna. So in there he describes about Lalita and Vishakha, and Rupa Manjari, etc. Not actually Rupa Manjari, but about the Astasakis and then Krishna Radharani. And Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika by Rupa Goswami. All these books are in English. And they give the focus to the meditation. These are devotees who possess the same bhav or mood that the sadhaka, the practitioner, wants to attain at the time of perfection or prema. So we want to become a kinkari or a manjari, then you meditate on the manjaris, and there's descriptions of them, what is their sevas, what is their mood, and who they are. We pray to them, we sing songs, we've all heard the song Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. Rupa Manjari is the leader of the manjaris, and her services as a manjari we meditate on at the level of ruchi, and a sakti, of course, and bhava. And as a sadhaka, we meditate upon and we try to mold our life around the activities of Rupa Goswami. Sankhya Puravaka Nama Gana Natabi Kalava Sani Krito Nidra Har Vihara Kali Vijato Chatyanta Dina Chayo. This is describing the life of the Goswami, the sadhaka life, as a practitioner. Sankhya Nam, they're chanting fixed number of rounds every day. Gan, Sankhya, Gan, Nam, Gan, like this. Fixed number of bhajans, ashtakams, etc. One should reside in Brajamandala while being immersed in chanting the names of Krishna, such as Radharaman and Radharas Vihari, that are favorable to one's own bhav. This type of chanting, this is mentioned in 11th canto of the Bhagavatam and Uddhava Gita, Evam Supriyanamam. Evam Supriyanamam. This one will be chanting Radha Rasvihari or Radha Raman Kijai over and over again. When he comes to the level of bhav, that may happen. But until that time, at the level of Ruchi or Sakti, one will chant his Guru Mantra, the Pancharachika Mantras, Kam Gayatri Gopa Mantra, and the Maha Mantra. He will chant these mantras. I can't imitate devotees at the level of bhav and walk around saying Radha Raman, Radha Raman, and no more chanting. This is not what's being told. But it's mentioning one should reside in Brajamandal. One should reside in Brajamandal while being immersed in chanting the names of Sri Krishna. So this verse is describing when one is favorable to one's own bhav. That means one has bhav. Because this chapter is about Prem Nam Bhajan. Chapters 7 and 8 of Bhajan Rahasyam are not really, you can say, so accessible to the Ajata Rati Sadaka, Ajata-rati sadaka means a sadaka who has not attained bhava. Chapter 1 through 6 is for us that haven't attained bhava. And after that, the teachings are how to go from bhava to prema. You see? So we're hearing these because we're going through the whole book and want to understand it. So some of the instructions, we shouldn't think, oh yeah, I should do that. I stopped chanting Hare Krishna, now Radharaman, Radharaman. Favorable to one's own. He says we should chant the names of Krishna that are favorable to one's own bhav. So are you on the level of bhav? No. So what names are favorable to us? Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. The Maha Mantra. So don't get confused. If it is not possible to reside in Braj physically, one should reside there mentally. Upadeshamrita verse number 8 explains both the process of bhajan and the best place to perform bhajan. The best place. If we can't be in the best place, then you'd be in some place. But the keynote here is do bhajan. Shravanam Kirtanam Smaranam. No place is superior to Braj Mandal for performing bhajan of Sri Radhan Krishna. The most exalted devotees such as Brahman Uddhava therefore pray to take birth in Braj as a blade of grass or a plant. So this is text 7 in the progression of verses we're discussing now. And this describes the method of worship followed by a Raghunuga Bhakta. And in his progression, these particular series of verses, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has actually given the steps of bhajan. Bhajan Rahasyam is teaching the progressive steps of Prem Nam Bhajan. How to start with Shraddha, chanting the name with faith, and then going from faith to Prema, chanting the name with Prema. Chanting the name will always be there. Even when we go to the spiritual world, we'll be chanting Krishna's name. The gopis are doing Sankirtan. Gopi Git means chanting Krishna's name. Viraha Git, chanting Krishna's name. Ramar Git, chanting Krishna's name, fame, glories. So Sankirtan is eternal. Bhakti is eternal. It's eternal. For us it's a practice, and for them it's their loving expression. When you love someone, you sing. And the way to love Krishna, attain love for Krishna, is by singing. Singing his names, chanting his names. So how to attain prema? This is Prem Nam Bhajan chapter. Prema is the conclusion of the book. Prema is the conclusion of our bhajan. And prema is the perfection of chanting a Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this is verses describing the how to attain prema, and this is the describes the this is of course from Rupa Goswami's writing, this time from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, first division, Purva Vibhag, chapter 2, verse 294. This is a section of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is quite short. It's a very long chapter on sadhana bhakti. Most of the chapter describes Vaidhi sadhana bhakti. And then a few verses at the end describe Raghunuga sadhana bhakti, and this is one of them. Krishna smaran janam chasya preshtam nija samihitam tat tat katara tash chaso kuryad vasam vraje sada. Remembering Krishna and one of his dearest and closest devotees, one should remain constantly absorbed in hearing about their loving relations. In this way, one should make one's permanent residence in Braj. So this is the idea that at the level, this level of sadhana, which generally manifests after nishta, one can legitimately and seriously take up the path of Raghunuga sadhana bhakti when he has some ruchi at the level of Ruchi. And of course, Nishta, Lord Chaitanya defines Nishta as Trinadapi Sunichena, Kirtaniya Sadari. And Lord Chaitanya defines Ruchi as Nadanam Najanam Nasundaram. One is free from desire for opulent life and comfortable life and enjoyable life. And he's free from sex attraction and woman, bondage with woman and man. And he's not, doesn't want any kind of reward, no reward-seeking activity. He's free from coverings of karma and gyan. He doesn't want a reward for his service. He doesn't want to go back to Godhead. He just wants to serve Krishna, whether he takes another birth or not. Everyone knows that verse? Nadanam najanam nasundaram kavitam va jagadishakame mama janmani janmani shri. I don't want mukti. I'm not asking for liberation. You give me another birth, it's fine. What do I want? Bhagavad bhakti rahoitakito. I want pure bhakti. I just want to serve you without coverings of karma and gyan, without ulterior motives and desires. I just want to serve you, purely serve you. Take the me out of the service. There's so much me in my service. I want to put you in this. I want to serve you and you and you, not serve you and me, and me and me, and then you, and then me, then you. I want to serve you and you alone. It's called, what is it called? Ananya Bhakti. It's called Ananyas Chintiyanto Mam. I think that's maybe 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Ananyas chintiyanto mam ye jana paripashate te sham nitya biyuktanam yoga kshemam maham mahatyam. Krishna says, if you're ananya for me, I'm ananya for you. If you just want to serve me, like you just want to serve Krishna, then I want to serve you. I'll carry on my back, waham. Waham means I'll carry on my back. I'll carry you on my back. If you're going to dedicate your life in such a single way, in such a pointed way, that I'm your everything, Ananya Bhakti, then I'll carry you on my back. Whatever you need, I'll carry it. And anything good you have, I'll enhance it and preserve it. Waha means I'll carry you. I'll put you on my back and carry you. And I'll carry to you and I'll physically bring here. Hey, look what I bought for you. I bought you a pot of milk. Madhavendrapuri, you're hungry. Take this pot of milk. I think you need this. You require this. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare. Acha. Oh, Baba. Baba, suno. Uto. Oh. And my mother has sent this for you. You're sitting here day and night. You don't know if it's raining or shining or what's going on. You're just looking at Govinda Kund and looking at Giriraj, facing north, all the great Mahajans and Acharyas in the Himalayas. You're sitting here on the banks of Govinda Kund, facing north, looking towards Vyasadeva and all the ascended masters, and glancing at this Charanamrita of Govinda and Giriraj on one side, Govinda Kund in the front. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You don't know anything. You're just absorbed in Leela, Leela Smaran, Leela Pravesh. Baba, take this, some milk my mother sent for you. I leave this pot here and then I'll come back tomorrow. That was Krishna. That little boy was Krishna. Then he wanted to reveal himself to the world. How merciful he is, how beautiful he is, how kind he is. So then he hid himself in the bushes. They came in Madhavendra Puri's dream. He said, I'm over here. That same boy, I'm in the bushes. I'm really hungry and cold, and I want to take a bath. So then he went there and he found that boy. And then he started worshiping him. And now that boy is gone for a walk. And he's walked over to Rajasthan. He's living in Nathdwara. His name is Sri Gopal Nathji Ki Jai. So this verse is telling that, all right, now we should remember Krishna and one of his dearest and closest devotees. So that depends on what is your mood of love. What is the sentiment of love that has arisen in your heart after doing nishchita bhajan? After doing nishchita bhajan means bhajan with the qualities of nishta, which are described by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Madhurya Kadambini. On one, there's six symptoms of anishchita bhakti, mental symptoms and physical symptoms. And then there's symptoms of the internal devotion. Six symptoms of anishchita bhakti, then the symptoms of nishchita bhakti. Do we have those symptoms? Probably not. I highly recommend everyone to read this most eye-opening book by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. There are several English editions. I think Kushakrata Prabhu also did. You can get on that folio. What's it called? Acharya. What's it called? Acharya Folio. That's all Kushakrata's books. After becoming somewhat accomplished in bhakti, this Vaidhi Sadhana will bring us through the ocean of Anartha Nivritti. And then at Nishta, as Nishta starts to, some sprinkles of ruchi come into our nishchita bhajan, then we'll get some idea of how we want to lovingly serve Krishna. Some ray from our sthayi bhav, the sunshine of our sthayi bhav, that sunshine of our sthayi bhav in our heart, some ray will come into our awareness. I feel very much attracted to serving Krishna like this, like Yashoda, like Nanda, like Subal, Sridhar, the coward boys, or like the gopis, or the Manjris. Maybe we don't know about Manjris, but I like Radha and Krishna and their pastimes, and I hear about them. And then, so that's the beginning of attraction. Some attraction. Krishna's all attractive. And he attracts every jiva in a different way. Some jivas are attracted to Vishnu Bhakti, because that's how he wants them to serve him, in Vishnu Bhakti. So they go the path of Vishnu Bhakti. They practice Vaidhi Sadhana. And they come to Bhava, and they come to Prema, and they go to Vaikuntha, and serve in Dasya Rati, Dasya Bhava. Dharmart Kam Moksha. And then you come to Gaudiya and it's, forget, we don't want moksha. All this Vaishnava Sampradayas, the four Vaishnava Sampradayas, everyone is engaging in sadhana bhakti. Everyone's engaging in Vaidhi sadhana, and everybody wants mukti. Then you come to Gaudiya Sampradaya, we're supposed to engage in Raghunuga sadhana. We're supposed to go to Vrindavan. We're supposed to realize Radha and Krishna are Siddhadeya and then stay here and serve them in the material world eternally, or go there, whatever they want. This is love. This is the highest expression of love. Where do you want me? You want me here? Okay, stay here. You want me there? Take me there. The devotees who desire Raghunuga Bhakti should constantly remember Vrindavan Krishna, along with Krishna's beloved associates who have the same mood as himself. He should remain engrossed in hearing and speaking narrations of their pastimes and always reside in Braj. So these instructions, these are given, this verse is included here, is text number 7. of Prem Nam Bhajan, chapter number 8 of Bhajan Rahasyam. It's from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and it comes from the Sadhana Bhakti chapter. It's not some advanced, it's for advanced devotees, pure devotees. It's sadhana, it's practice. This is the section of Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. What is Raganuga Sadhana? How to practice Raganuga Sadhana? Actually, Raganuga Sadhana is based on your rag, and rag is based on your lobha, your greed, and greed is based on your association from last life and this life. If there is no greed, when greed for a particular mood of love is not awoken, then we have not been favored by Bhakti Devi or Bhakti Devi's representatives of the advanced devotees. So what to do? So we continue on the path of Vaidhi Sarana. And when we are favored, and then we get the proper association in last life, and that creates lobha. It's called lobha mahi shraddha, faith, which faith in God, yes, faith in Krishna, shraddha, but lobha mahi means which is mixed with and saturated with greed to love Krishna, worship Krishna in a particular specific mood of devotion, be it dasya bhav, sakya bhav, or madhur bhav, madhurya bhav. So that's not imitated, it's not, oh yeah, I think everyone else is into it, I guess I should be into it. This is not the way it works, it's not imitative, you don't imitate greed. This is called, it's described in Jiva Dharma and also other places. Smari Krishna Nija Krishna Prishta Braja Jan Krishna Kata Ratta Braja Vhasa Anakshan. This is a beautiful Bengali verse that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given to describe. This is a translation that's given here. I remember Krishna and one of the residents of Braj, who is most dear to Krishna. And while remembering them, I should remain constantly engaged in discussing Krishna while residing in Braj. So, all right, what's the example? The example is if you're interested in serving Krishna like his gopis or his manjaris in this intimate conjugal mood, Ras Leela and Ban Vihar and Jal Keli and Jula and all these sweet, wonderful pastimes, they attract your heart and they inspire you and they move you and you always think like that and you want to read about that. What Krishna do you want to worship then? Mathura Krishna, Dwarka Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna, Gopinath, Govinda Damo Dharamadaviti. And well, who's the best representative of Madhurya Bhav? And who's the most intimate lover of Krishna on the level of Madhuras? Radharani. So then who is that dear associate of Krishna who you always remember? Radharani. And with Krishna. So Radha and Krishna. My Ishtadev is Radha and Krishna. My worshipful Lord is Radha and Krishna. Swami and Swamini. And then, well, I sing songs about them, and I read about their pastimes, and I live in their place, and try as possible to live in a Leela Stali, where they have their pastimes, and I always think of their pastimes, and this is how we absorb ourselves in the form of Krishna that we're attracted to, and the best devotee of that form of Krishna, and that particular mode of love. The sadhaka roop, because the verse, this follows from Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita, seva sadhaka rupena sidrupena chaturhi. So the sadhaka roop is this body, this is me, the sadhaka. Then the siddharoop is the spiritual body, siddhadeya. It may be hazy in the beginning. Well, I don't know what it is, but it must be something to serve Radharani, if you're interested in Madhurya Bhav. And then gradually that hazy conception becomes clear. As our mind and heart become clear, the hazy conception becomes clear conception. I am this. This is me. The sadhaka roop is the body of the practitioner, or the body that we're sitting in. Wherever it happens to be, in Braja or elsewhere, or maybe in Moscow, the Siddharup is a spiritual body the desired form suitable for executing the service of Krishna, which is dear to one's heart. In both of these bodies, one must follow the particular devotee, beloved of the Lord, whose mood one has the greatest eagerness to achieve, such as Srimati Radharani, Lalita, Vishakha, or Rupa Manjari. In other words, if one is interested in serving Krishna in conjugal love, in the mood of Madhurya Ras, and okay, that's Dwarka is also conjugal love. That's a Mahishi, a queen, but no, we're interested in Vrindavan. We love Vrindavan, right? I love Vrindavan. And conjugal love means, Madhurya Ras means Radharani. So now, that's if we're interested in Madhurya Ras, to be like a gopi. I want to kiss Krishna. Prabhupada says one purport. You can dance with Krishna, you can kiss Krishna, you can love Krishna. So that means Sakhi Bhav, Nayaka Bhav, the Bhav of Krishna's intimate lovers, the Lalita's Bhav, Radharani's Bhav. They have Rati Kali, intimate amorous union with Krishna, as wives and husbands do. In this case, it's lover, Upapati, Upapati Bhav, Paramour love. So then one will follow Krishna and Radha in the mood of that. Madhurya Ras in the mood of Parakiya Bhav, Sakhi Bhav, Nayaka Bhav. But that Sampradaya that's emphasizing that is called Nimbark Sampradaya. Our Gaudiya Sampradaya, so Bhakti Shriyam, followers of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he is not broadcasting this Parakiya Bhav and Sakhi Bhav specifically. As say, we are teaching all of our acharyas, they're, for the most part, if they're in Madhurya Bhav, they're in the mood of Manjaris, Paliyadasis, servants of Radharani. And there are a few lines also of acharyas, parishads of Lord Chaitanya, who are in Sakya Bhav, the mood of serving Krishna and Balaram like a coward boy, etc. So therefore, Rupa Goswami is mentioning, you'll meditate on Krishna and Radha, specifically, or Lalita, or the Sakis, Asha Sakis, or Rupa Manjari. Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, Sri Rupa Raghunatha Pade, Hoibe Akuti. Krishnas Kaviraj says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when will I be eager to follow Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami? The Abhideyacharya and Priyojanacharya. And there, Rati Manjari and Rupa Manjari, Tulsi Manjari also. So he's teaching, they're teaching the mood of a different type of Madhurya Bhav, but in the mood of a servant of Radharani, a Dasi of Radharani. And Dasis of Radharani mostly never have intimate relationship with Krishna. Their line of service is to Radha. If Krishna wants to enjoy a Manjari, that's his prerogative. Then, and if Radharani wants that from the Manjari, then they'll offer themselves. But that's rather rare, not really emphasized by Rupa Goswami or Raghunath Das Goswami or our acharyas in our line. So that should be clear. So that's on one hand. On the other hand, we should be praying to and meditating on Sri Rupa and Sanatan Goswami and their entourage. One should follow them and serve Krishna on both these levels. In other words, in the external body, one should engage in the types of service for which Rupa and Sanatan set the standard. In the meditation body, or Siddha Deha, one should serve in the way shown by Radha, Lalita, Vishakha, and Rupa Manjari. This does not mean that one is to imitate any of these eternally perfected devotees on either level. So we can't think, I am Rupa Goswami or I am Rupa Manjari. So of course this is describing the process and practice of Raghunuga Bhakti. If we're eligible to practice that, and we are directed and engaged in that particular line of sadhana by our guardians, who will measure our progress accordingly, and adjust our bhajan appropriately at the right time. Fools rush in where angels dare to tread. Therefore, everything is guided by Guru. If everyone is his own director, if everyone is his own lord, and everyone is his own guru, then why bother taking diksha? Why bother having a guru? If you know everything, and you know the way, and you know what is best. I know what is best. You don't know. I know. Then why bother surrendering to a guru? One surrenders to a guru because he has the feeling and mood that, and understanding from Shastras that I need a guru. I need shelter, guidance, and direction to my life and to my bhajan. And Krishna felt that way, he took a guru. Ramchandra felt that way, he took a guru. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt that way, he took a guru. And all of our, and if we read any books that we may read to guide us on our independent path without guru, are written by personalities who had a guru. So I don't need a guru. I have the books of Rupa Goswami, I have the books of Raghunath Das, and I just make up my own bhajan package. A little pizza, a little japa, a little this, that, the other thing, and I'll become perfect. I am guru. I am self-made man. Why I need guru? You know, I'm Russian. I'm very strong. I'm American. We do things ourselves. You know, Russian, American, they're strong people. They don't need guru. So I got all these books in Russian and English, and, you know, from this Babaji and this Goswami and this. Now I'm ready to go. Now watch me now. Watch you. I don't know what you're going to do with something interesting. An interesting circus you'll create. The Moscow circus. Devotional circus. Not devotional, but commotional circus. But the irony of the whole process and practice is when you, all those books you gather around you and all those ideas and collections of ideas that you try to put together in your package of perfection are written by devotees who submitted to a guru. So you're the odd one out. You're the odd one out. All the books you're reading are written by people that had a guru. And all the forms of God that you may choose to worship, all themselves took a guru. But you're some exceptional avatar that's appeared on the scene that you don't need a guru. You're very, very extraordinary. So all the best and good luck, and let's see what kind of scene you create. So Guru will direct. Guru is our best friend. And Guru is akanda. Relationship with Guru is akanda, never breaks. Sad Guru, Sad Shishya. Does the Atma die? No. Atma is eternal. Does Guru die? No, Guru is eternal. So the Guru-Shishya-Sambandha is eternal, nitya. But do we have the faith? Do we have Shraddha? Oh, my Guru is a small-timer, you know. My Guru is like small-timer. I don't think he's like that advanced. I mean, he's like, I don't know. That means you don't understand anything about Guru-Tattva. Because electricity can pass through any kind of wire, through copper, through aluminum, anything. Any kind of metal you connect electricity to, it'll flow. Oh, this is copper. That's the best conductor of electricity, copper. Acha. Oh, this is iron. No, that works also. Electricity passes that way. So the electric current of devotion passes through any conduit. If someone steps up and surrenders due to inspiration of Krishna in the heart to take the position of a servant as a guru, then he's representing a Akanda Guru Tattva. He's powerful. She's powerful, whoever the person may be. And if one understands, this is the Guru Tattva. It's not like big guru, small guru. He's big guru. He wrote lots of books. He's a big guru. He didn't write any books. He's not a big guru. He's a small guru. Gaur Kishore is a very small guru. He didn't write any books. He's very small. He's not a GBC either. He's not BBT. He doesn't have any ashram. He's just, you know, he's just a Siddha Mahatma. So this is Guru. Guru Tattva. So those we should follow, we should meditate on, we should follow, we should read about and hear about and pray to those devotees who cherish, who possess the mood that he cherishes. So cherishing means you really want something, which means you have greed. Lobha mai shraddha. If you don't really, like if I say, well, which devotee in Krishna's lila and who do you really want to follow? What mood? So I don't know. That means then keep chanting and you'll know, you'll come to know. It's not a fake thing. It's like you tell a 5-year-old boy, which girl are you going to marry? Marry? No, you should start. You have to pick one out now. You have to pick one out and get attached to her, you know? I don't know. I don't have any idea about that. I just want to play. That idea hasn't come in me, attraction or interest in that whole concept. I heard about it, and my mother and father, I guess, are married, I suppose. I guess so. That's how I got here. But then in the right time, you know, he just grows up, and then you say, oh, who do you want to marry? He says, I don't know, I'm really tight with this one. Maybe I'll marry this one. And then it becomes more real. So these ideas we're talking about are higher ideas of development and devotion. One will follow that eternal associate of Krishna in Vrindavan, who possesses the same mood, which means bhav, that you cherish, that you intensely desire from the core of your heart, not the surface of your mind. The surface of your mind is, yeah, I think I'll follow Sridham and Subal. That seems cool. You know, everyone's doing it, and it's really popular, and if you go on the internet, you'll find 20 websites in Raghunuga Bhakti, and I should get with it. I mean, the train's leaving without me. I got to get into it. It's like so artificial. 90% of people are just totally dishonest and artificially jumping up to God knows where, and where they're going to fall, they know. And it's also predicted and described. He should hear narrations about them while remaining a resident of Sri Nandaraj's Braj. By physically residing in Vrindavan, Govardhan, or Radhakund, or other such places, if he is able to do so. Or if not, he should reside there mentally. And some people, they live somewhere outside of Vrindavan, but they reside there mentally, and not only mentally, but even they try to make their environment like Vrindavan. I know people that have rooms, you know, like they live in some room, or maybe they're lucky they have two rooms, two-bedroom flat. So one bedroom, they have their, you know, their bed, and they sleep, and they have a computer, many things, small flat. But one bedroom is Vrindavan. The bedroom is Vrindavan. It's maybe Govardhan Hill. And they take their little artistic type, or they call some artists in, they make like a hill, like Govardhan Hill. They put Radhakund and Shyamakund there, and they have Kusum Sarovar, and they're very kind of like Western mind, smart. So they kind of make it and scale down. It's a 1/10,000th replica of Govardhan Hill, right? It's only 15 feet long instead of, you know, so, but it's, you know, exactly, Radhakund and Shyamakund are here, and exactly the scale, you know, it's called scale model, you know? And then right here is Kusum Sarovar, then Gwalpakur, and then Manasi Ganga, then Uddhavakund, and Puncheri, and Rasastali. And then I've seen my own eyes, and I've heard also. Some people in Ireland, for example, there's a place called Ireland, and devotees live there on some island. And they set it up, they created the 12 forests of Vrindavan there, Dinabandhu is explaining to me. And he went there, and then he takes people on Brajmandal Parikrama. And they walk around this island, you know, some island out there in the North Sea or whatever, whatsoever up there, you know. And they've made out of plastic and all these things. They made Agasura, like, you know, Agasura, and then and Vakasura, and they have all Anartanivriti. They have the Anartanivriti path, and they have the Raganuga path, and then they have Radhakund, and they have Julin, and the whole 12 forests of Vrindavan are in Ireland. It's like near the North Pole or something like that. It's way up there somewhere. And Dinabandhu goes there and he said, come on, let's go to Kamivan. He tells the pastimes and... Have you heard? You know that? And so different people, in other words, they're following Rupa Goswami's instructions. If you can't live in Vrindavan, there's no can't. You can. You can live in... Do you want to? Well then, live there immensely and create some udipan in your environment. You know, like your car, you know, you paint your car parrot green or something. You're driving in your car, you get a parrot green car, and you think, I'm Vrindadevi's parrot, and I'm not going to work, I'm just going with this parrot, and we're going from Barsana to Nandagram to give a message to Krishna. And your parrot green Honda, or whatever, going from, you know, here to there. Otherwise, you know, spiritualize your environment, your consciousness, and you instead of naming, you have a pet dog or something, you know, or you name him, you know, Brahmaraka. Krishna has two pet dogs. One is called Brahmaraka, the other is called Vyagra. So you say, hey, Brahmaraka, you know, you're Krishna's dog. Or you call him Bhakta dog or something like that, you know. If not, he should reside in Vrindavan mentally. These spiritual places, Radhakund, Govardhan, etc., are saturated with Sringhar Ras. And in Bhajan, they are Udipan, or stimulant for Ras and Leela. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Radha Kunda Tata Kunja Kutira Govardhan Parvata Jamuna Tira. Radha Kunda Tata Kunja Kutira Govardhana Parvata Jamuna Tira. It says, I meditate on a small cottage within a kunja on the bank of Radhakund, Govardhan Hill, or the banks of Yamuna. This is famous bhajan, Radha Kunda Tata. Kunja Kutira. This is a Kunja Kutira. Kunja Kuti. This is a Kunja. This is a Kuti. Ananga Rangada. This is called Ananga Rangada Kunj. This Kunj. Such sadhakas should remember the narrations of Krishna's dear associates, the Rasik Vaishnavas of Braj, Rasik devotees of Braj, who are favorable for his bhav, Rupa Mandri and other sakis, and he should serve them. In this way, by remembering them, praying to them, and serving them, and thinking of them, and talking about them, their bhavas, moods, will be transmitted into his heart. That's called the ingress of bhava bhakti. Shuddha sattva. Shuddha sattva visheshatma. Shuddha sattva is a combination of ladini shakti and samvit shakti. Samvit is Vasudeva Sri Krishna. And Ladini is Srimati Radharani. So that means Radha and Krishna will come into the heart. And this bhakti, pure bhakti means this. So bhava is pure bhakti. Bhava means, another way of saying pure bhakti. Pure bhakti, bhav. So we're meditating on their bhavs. We're meditating on their seva. So when they're favorable to us, by their mercy, by their gurus, there are bhajan shiksha gurus. Rupa Goswami. Is Rupa Goswami our guru? Go like this. Yes. Is Raghunath Das Goswami our guru? Yes. Is Rupa Manji our guru? Yes. So you want the bhava of the guru, just like we meet a guru in our sadhaka rup, and he gives us diksha, mantras. What is he giving us? Some syllables, some akshar? Kling, kama, devaya. These are akshar syllables. He's giving his bhava. The bhav from his heart is being transmitted to the shishya. Whatever bhav he has bhav. Oh no, my guru, he's not advanced, you know. He's Russian. He's not advanced. He's not a gopi bhav, is that bhav? No. But whatever, he has seva, does he have seva? He has seva bhav for his guru, guru nishta, guru bhakti and seva bhav. That's perfection. That's braja bhav. If he has that, oh my guru, he's just absorbed in serving his guru day and night. And he's not into Gopi Bhav and Madhura Bhav and Manjri Bhav, so he's not advanced. Acha. Then you don't know anything about bhakti. It's the perfection of bhakti. Serving Guru day and night with everything in your command, body, mind, and soul, this is highest bhakti. This is Seva Bhav. Because Seva Bhav, he has pure Seva Bhav directed to Guru Seva. That pure Seva Bhav can be directed to Radha Seva. Seva Bhav, the basis of Guru, of Prem Seva to the Manjris and the Sakis is Seva Bhav. So the Guru, when he gives a diksha, his mantras may be full of Seva Bhav. Prabhupada Seva Bhav, Guru Seva Bhav, Guru Bhakti. And that's a bad thing to come in the heart? That comes from the Guru? The so-called, he's only Madhyam Guru. There's different levels. Madhyam Adhikari can be Guru. Whether he's coming down from Uttam or whether he's rising up. Madhyam Kanishtha is a Guru. Madhyam is a Guru. Madhyam Uttam is a Guru. And then Kanishtha Uttam, and then Madhyam Uttam and Uttam Uttam. And then Bhava, Premi, Guru. All so many levels of Guru. And so when you receive Diksha Mantra, you get Seva Bhav. So the point is that as we receive the Bhava from the heart of the Guru, by how do we get it? By remembering Him, by remembering Guru, by serving Guru, by praying to Guru, by worshipping Guru, then His Bhava comes in our heart. So how do we get the Bhava from the heart of Rupa Goswami and Rupa Manjari and Lita Radharani, etc.? By serving them, by remembering them, by praying to them. But if we have Guru, first we get the Bhava from the Guru's heart. And that attracts the hearts of the other Gurus. Because as I said, it's a Kanda Guru Tattva. Do you understand a Kanda Guru Tattva? You don't understand. Yes, no. If you don't get, if you don't serve the Guru, the Guru Tattva starts here. Who gives you Diksha? If you don't receive the Bhav from his heart, you'll never receive the Bhav from the hearts of Rupa Manjari. You say, Guru, forget. Rupa Manjari, Pada Sampad, Mora Sampad, everything, you're my everything. Guru, And I know you get lost, you know. I'm living in Vrindavan, you're in Russia preaching and distributing books, but I'm in Radhaguna, and I'm big devotee. Nice joke. Good luck. It's a Kanda Guru from... Who is the final guru in this line of a Kanda Guru line? This is called Sampradaya Dhara or Prem Bhajan Dhara, the current. Who is the final guru? Radha. Who is the guru of Krishna? Radha. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna says, Radhika Ami Guru. He says, my guru is Radharani. And I am dancing to her instruction. She's teaching me Mahabhav. And in order for me to learn what is Radharani's Mahabhav, I had to go to school. I had to take another birth. I had to appear as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and enroll in the school of Gadadhara Pandit and Srup Damodar, Lalita, and they had to teach me what is his Mahabhav. Because the gopis have Mahabhav. Radharani's Sakis have Mahabhav. She has the highest, Radharani alone has Maranakya Mahabhav, but her Sakhis also experienced Mahabhav. So the final guru is Radha. Prabhupada says in Adi Leela, in the purport Adi Leela, he says that the Diksha Guru is a representative either of Sri Nityananda Prabhu or Srimati Radharani. That means that if my guru is a representative of Radharani, the Akanda Guru Tattva begins with my guru, and who's the last guru in that line of the Sampradaya? Radharani. And so that guru, who's representing Radharani, will be teaching me Gopi Bhav. He'll be teaching me Brajamadriya Bhav, if he's representing Radharani. If he's representing Nityananda Prabhu, then he'll be teaching me Sakya Bhav, could be. Or he can be also teaching me Madhurya Bhav. As a representative of Radharani, he can also be teaching you. But Prabhupada is saying there in the purport, he can be a representative of either Nityananda Prabhu, which would mean that guru will take you to Sakya Bhav, or this guru will take you to Madhurya Bhav. But either guru can take you to Madhurya Bhav, because Nityananda is Balaram, and Balaram is Ananga Manjari. And in the Nityananda Sampradaya, There are some branches that are teaching Sakyabhav, Sakiras. Few. But the majority of branches are teaching, taking it to the line of Janamamata and on to Anangamantri and Radharani Seva and Gopi Bhava. So gurus, Guru Kripa Kevalam, without guru, no progress. Such sadhakas should remember the narrations of Krishna's dear associates, the rasik devotees of Vrindavan, are favorable for his bhava, such as Rupa Manjari and other sakis, and he should serve them. In this way, their moods will be transmitted into his heart. So the same thing applies to the guru has no mood. The guru is a dead stone. He has no bhava, he has no love, he has no feelings for Krishna or Radha or Gauranga. Is it possible? So by serving him and praying to him and worshipping nicely, then the seed of bhava is given in the mantra. Now whether that seed produces a plant and a fruit of bhava, of the guru's bhava, depends on... The guru does his part. Bhakti Lata Bij. He gives that seed in the heart. Now how that disciple serves his guru is whether or not that seed will produce the fruit of prema. If he does guru vagya, he ignores his guru, neglects his guru, and guru ninda, saru ninda means guru ninda, and he offends his guru, then that seed will be there. It's there, life after life after life. So this is crucial. Nowadays we see so much people, they, guru. They don't have so very much understanding of guru tattva. And it's interesting when you think of the Christian teachings. Some of us come from Christian background. And it says there, Jesus says, whatever you do to the least of my creation, that you do unto me, unto the Father. So if you are killing all kinds of animals and insects and birds and everything, that's like small little creatures in God's creation, that you're doing that to God. You're also a killer of God. So if we're disregarding the guru, who is the first connection to Krishna Prema, then what's our success? All gurus, every guru should be honored, respected, and held with the most greatest esteem. Whether he's in ISKCON or Gaudiya Math, or he's from banks of Radhakund or Babaji, whatever. I don't think anything too much of anyone particularly like this. I offer all my respects to everyone, and I pray for their mercy. That's all I can say. I'm not a person that's going to put someone on a scale and say, oh, he's big, he's small. I'm not going to give some value judgment. I'm not going to give some value judgment or statement about guru tattva. I'm not so foolish. Oh, he's not, this guru, he's not good. Good luck to you. Guru is very dear to Krishna. Every guru is very dear to Krishna. Krishna Preshta, Mukunda Preshta. There was a prayer written by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciple to glorify their spiritual master. And it's two parts. The first part is Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale. Shrimate Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati iti namane. This prayer was written by a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Now that prayer has become the generic prayer for all followers of Bhaktisiddhanta. Yes? Yes. Now, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they wanted to have some prayer to write to glorify their guru. So they took the same prayer, Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani. And now it's, you know, blank blank iti namane, blank blank iti namane, blank blank. So this is the generic prayer for all the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So what is common in this prayer for all gurus? Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya. That every guru is using this basic pranam mantra. They may have more elaborate mantras, whatever. But this basic pranam mantra for all the gurus in the Gaudiya Math, and all the gurus in ISKCON, and all gurus in general is Krishna Preshta, Mukunda Preshta. And in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu it says, Guru is Mukunda Preshta. So whether you're initiated by a Babaji Guru or ISKCON Guru or Gaudiya Math Guru, everywhere Guru is described as Krishna Preshta, Mukunda Preshta, which means he's very, very dear to Krishna. So I say, oh, who's your guru? Oh, your guru. Oh, that? Ha, hoo, ha. Then you put your finger like this and you run from that place. Guru, you don't talk about guru, you worship guru. You talk about guru tattva. What is guru tattva? What are the characteristics and lakshana of guru? And what about the characteristics and lakshana of disciple? There's the exceptional guru with exceptional characteristics. And there's an ordinary guru with ordinary characteristics. There's the exceptional disciple with exceptional characteristics. And the ordinary disciple. There's Vaishnava Praya. Then there's Vaishnava Praya Prakrita Bhakta. Then there's Kanishta. Three kinds of Kanishta, Bhaktas, disciples. Three kinds of Madhyam, three kinds of Uttams. And then you go to Mahabhagavat. There's five kinds of Mahabhagavats. It doesn't end. How many kinds of pure devotees are there? So many levels of pure devotees. Okay, well, Sakis. Oh, there's everyone. All they're all Sakis. Well, there's five kinds of. Hey, there's different kinds of Sakis also. Yeah, there's five kinds of Sakis. Okay, well, what if you're in Radharani's camp? No, but there's different levels of Bhav. Oh, wow, there's different levels of Mahabhav. So it never. It's not all one at any stage of the game, is it? Never. At least in this, if you're a Vaishnava, it's never all one. It's all many, 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 many. In this way, their moods will be transmitted into his heart. In other words, this is how we attain Bhava Bhakti. An example of this is Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, who, under the guidance of Sri Sarup Damodar and Sri Rupa Goswami, attained the summit of Rasamayi Upasana, devotional service and the amorous love of Braj. So tomorrow we'll continue Vajrahasyam, verse number 8. This is about Premnam Sankirtan, the Premi Bhakta's symptoms of union with Sri Krishna.